Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen, Nisha, and William Tinko coming to you live every day. William is not with us today. He is traveling, so we'll get him back midweek. So glad to have you. First of all, thank you to People Clues, my partners over there, for supporting the show as usual. And Nisha, happy Monday to you. How's it going?
Well, happy Monday to you, Brian. I'm so excited that we have our home inspection and moisture inspection. Oh, it's some crazy stuff. Everything is happening, but then we found a pretty, amazing home that we'd like to see continue our, continuing in that home. I'm so excited to, start living in that place. It's so awesome. You've seen the photographs and all, right? So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and it's so, and I totally am feeling that, especially the first, second. I'm on my fifth or sixth house. So it's probably not the level of enthusiasm around the first one, but it's fun to, as you guys go through the process, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I can't wait to come over for dinner in the very near future. So keep us up to date this week on what's going on with that, because that's fun, and I'm sure everything will work out the way that it should. It always does.
Sure.
Well, hey, let's get to our guests, because we got some cool things. We haven't talked as much about this topic and some things that we talked about in pre-show. So, Mike Astinger, welcome back to Drive Through HR. It's been a while, my friend.
Brian, thank you very much.
So let's kick it off. If you would, introduce yourself, and then we'll roll into kind of what's top of mind and going on in your world.
So my name is Mike Astringer. I'm the founder of Human Capital Consultants. We're an HR and recruitment consulting firm with offices in Philadelphia and Waltham, Massachusetts.
Perfect. So take us into your world, kind of what's top of mind or currently keeping you up at night.
So what's keeping me up at night is something I never imagined would keep me up at night, but someone has perpetuated a identity theft scam using my company name. So what appears to be an offshore entity has created a website under my company name with obviously a different web address. They are emailing using a Hotmail email address people that have posted their resumes and contact information on the internet, offering them a financial services officer position, directing them to a website where they're asked to provide personal information. And again, they're doing this under my company name. So I began to get phone calls and emails last week from people asking if this person presenting themselves as a recruiter working for my company does in fact work for my company, and asking if this financial services officer role is for real. I did a little investigation, and this company actually went so far as to use my Massachusetts office address as their contact address on their website. So it's pretty obvious that they're trying to present themselves as my company, as Human Capital Consultants. And I'll tell you something, your first initial thought is, how in the world do you deal with this? So my first phone call was to my attorney. My attorney said to me that, it would cost me $5,000 for him to drop everything and go to federal court to get a restraining order, but the fact of the matter is this is an offshore entity, so that probably wouldn't work. My next phone call was to the FBI. The FBI could care less. They've got more important things on their plate. They actually directed me to go onto their website, to their cybercrimes website, and make a complaint online. Here I'm sitting today with, I don't know how long this has been going on, but I've been aware of it for almost a week, with, again, a company posing as Human Capital Consultants and trying to steal identities.
Well, and that's, and this is something, like you said, the company component of it, I don't think I know anybody that, other than maybe some fake invoice type stuff years ago that somebody was doing under a company name that I know happens fairly frequently, I've never heard exactly what has happened to you. So that would actually be somewhat of a first, especially where, again, there's really no mechanism because you're doing the things that I would think of, an attorney. What can we do? Obviously, getting into the authorities. So, going forward, what does the future look like? What are you going to do to try and, personally try and lock this thing down that maybe practitioners will kind of think about, okay, what's going on? Can I audit anything? Is there anything I can do to see if this is happening within the company?
So that was the reason why I wanted to bring it up today, because I'm sure I'm not the first. I'm sure I won't be the last. And it probably makes good sense for practitioners to put their names and their company names in a Google search and just see if these things are going on. In retrospect, I actually did do a Google search of my company name and found this. It was posted on scamwarnings.com or something like that. Somebody had gone and posted it. But I'll tell you something. I'm at a loss. I would love advice on what I should do next. I put out a press release. I'm trying to get this information in front of as many people as I can. Anybody at this point who's contacting me, I'm asking them to contact the FBI. My thought being that if enough people complain to the FBI, maybe they'll do something about it. But I'll tell you something. You don't really realize how vulnerable to this type of thing you are until it happens to you and you realize that you really have no recourse and no one really is that interested in helping.
Well, and that's, part of the thing. And I think, that's the beauty of the interwebs is the fact that you can do some pretty consistent scans and set up, for example, just set up some news alerts and things where you're getting alerts set up to where when something's mentioned on there potentially using your name or some semblance of your name, you can get notified. But doing a Google search right off the bat a couple different ways I think is a great suggestion. Just as a quick scan, easy scan, doesn't cost you any more than your time to figure out what exactly is being said. And you can even, like, social mention is another one. It's just another tool out there that you might be able to pull some keywords about what's going on with your company.
And that's one I hadn't heard of.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna make sure I check that out.
Yeah, that's a good – I mean, that's just one that, that gives you kind of negative positive sentiment around some different keywords. But it's just another tool that kind of gets you, calibrated at all the information that comes streaming over. So if you being kind of on the consulting side, what are you sharing? What are you sharing with your or planning on sharing with your clients around best practices to potentially maybe be preventative? Not that maybe you could have done anything, but to be preventative and then to say, okay, here's kind of what I would put in place to actually start the process to handle this. So what are you telling your clients on this whole situation?
So certainly I'm making them aware. If they became aware through any other avenue, I wouldn't want them to think, and I don't think anyone that knows me would think so, but I wouldn't want anyone to think that I am really perpetuating some sort of an identity theft scam, right? So, first of all, I'm making them aware one by one of the situation and what's going on. One of the things that I'm considering doing is actually consulting with some sort of a security expert on really just finding out how I can stop this from happening in the future. I actually have over the years registered every combination of my domain name, and I did that initially because there are competitors, there are other companies across the country that share my company name. So as soon as any sort of domain that has anything to do with Human Capital Consultants has come up, I've registered it. But these guys, they registered humanconsult.org. So, I mean, they didn't even use anything close to my domain address. So the answer is, at this point, I really don't know. And it's something that I'm going to use this as a learning experience to try and make sure this never happens to me in the future. But I got to tell you, that's not even my concern at this point. I know I'm protected by being incorporated, that, no one's going to come and sue me personally, but it just really is keeping me up at night to think that, anyone who's gotten their identity theft or stolen through this process or through this scam is going to think that I or my company had anything to do with that. And that goes beyond a reputation thing. I mean, that really goes to, I personally feel for anyone who thinks that, that my company has had anything to do with this whatsoever.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, actually offline, and I'll shoot an email to you, I actually do know somebody out of California that might, funny, literally just talked to him. I had to hard stop the conversation with him, the CEO of a company that kind of actually helps navigate exactly what you're talking about. True story. I hard stopped it 5 minutes before we jumped on the phone with him and said, I got to go. I got to do the show. And I'll ping you with that. The guy's Tom Widman, CEO of Identity Fraud. So out of California, I'll shoot that over to you after the show.
You know, I think the point of this whole conversation becomes, as I said earlier, probably most of us in recruiting and HR don't think about these things. But, you know, I'm a great example that it happens. And I think the practitioners just need to be very, very aware of what's going on around their names and their company names. I mean, again, this appears to be an offshore entity. I've never done business offshore. There's no reason why I became the target of this or even came onto anyone's radar outside of the U.S. that would have grabbed my company name to do this.
Well, and that's, you know, again, this is just one of those reminders that the pain, for most people, the pain is definitely more proscriptive than prescriptive on that. I mean, everybody, hopefully, from a data perspective, you obviously have a lot of moving parts within HR, and where you're on the, you know, again, in the HR space, I think we've all been through making sure the sensitive information has good process orientation around security, right? I mean, you know, there's places that got to need to be locked up that have all the medical records, all of the performance reviews, have all the sensitive information like Social Security and things like that. So, I mean, just the basic things. Is that something? I mean, how often does that come up? Like, data security come up like in over the years in your practice? I'm just really curious about that with HR, kind of HR folks.
You know, it really doesn't, because for me, I mean, I'm relatively old school. I've been at this for going on 22 years. I'm relatively old school. I'm not a cloud kind of guy, so I don't store records in the cloud. I don't, you know, I keep everything on hard drives and all of that. So security has never necessarily been an issue for me. I mean, all of us have had our email address is hacked, right? I mean, it happens all the time. People are sending out, I mean, how many emails a day do you get from people that have Yahoo email addresses that their emails were hacked? I mean, that's happened within my company domain before, and I've dealt with it within my email host, but really never from a data perspective did I ever dream that again, not storing things in the cloud, not really putting myself out there on the internet like that I would have such an issue.
Well, nice talk, Mike. I'm going to do a quick visit, everybody. This is Nisha and Brian talking to our wonderful guest, Mike. Mike, we talked about, you know, one aspect of it, that is our recruiters and then HR aspect of it. Let's talk, you know, about job seekers, about job offer scams. You know, our unemployment rates are high, and for them, that out of work professionals become, they become a perfect bait for this identity theft scheme, right? So getting a job is more important for them, and they may even share their personal info for the sake of it. But how can they figure out this job offer is a scam and probably identify that in the initial stage itself and identify legitimate job listings?
So I'm going to use this one as the example and say that some people have done it right. They've reached out to me and asked if this is legitimate. But, you know, certainly from the perspective of what's happening in this particular scam, if you will, first of all, any company that's offering you a job based on your resume without an interview, that should certainly be the first red flag. I think anybody who's pointing you to a website and asking you to upload personal information is definitely red flag number two. And then the other thing I hadn't mentioned was in this job offer coming from this company, one of the qualifications of the position was that the applicant have a regular bank account. And, you know, when you look at all of the scams that are out there, the Nigerian scam is one that we all know about. It just really amazes me that after all of these years, people are actually still – falling for these things and going onto the internet and putting in their bank account information and their social security numbers and all of that. So, you know, I'm thinking that any company that's asking you to provide that information, A, without an interview, and B, not in person. And then I'll throw a C out to this as well, and that is they're contacting people via a Hotmail email address. So, you know, if somebody's contacting you via Hotmail, I always say that, you know, if somebody's using a free email provider to do business, I don't think a whole lot of their business. So I think when you look at those things in combined, you really need to verify that what you're looking at is legitimate. And as we know, in a lot of cases, they're not.
That's true. Nice. And now what? You know, at what point a job candidate should share this sensitive information such as social security number or any bank info in their process of job offer acceptance? You know, once a job offer comes, do you think candidates should avoid providing copies of documents used for, you know, I-9 purposes such as passport or birth certificate, etc., like that? Well, I've heard photocopies that can be mishandled that they've had over to these people. So what do you think?
You know, I think that's normally something that's done in person. So I can speak for all of the clients that we work with. You know, again, you're brought in for an interview. You're not offered a job via email. You're brought in for an interview. You're brought in on your first day of work, and that's when you would fill out an I-9 form and provide the documentation around that I-9. So I can't think of a company that would do that via email or the internet or some sort of a website. So I think that's a huge red flag. I mean, there could be companies out there that are doing it I'm unaware of, but I've never heard of a company asking someone to go online and fill out an I-9.
Well, and that's, you know, with the cloud, that's going to start to be a pretty interesting kind of proposition. I've got a couple close friends that are kind of helping steward the job offer kind of search process, you know, just the technology, and they've been out of the game for a little while, and I am absolutely shocked at some of the, I mean, I don't know why I am. Maybe it's just my pure of heart self, I guess, but I am shocked at some of the things that are asked on some of these applications, and with, you know, sensitive information, social security numbers, date of birth, I mean, everything, all of your contact information, all in one file that is in a completely unsecured location within the applicant, you know, an old applicant tracking system. I mean, I'm shocked. And then, you know, job seekers, all of a sudden, they hit this, and companies are doing this, and they're like, well, what am I supposed to do, right? And it's literally, they have to make the call, is I don't want to pursue the opportunity, or I just do it and I'm uncomfortable with it, right?
That is typically the first thing that I like to fix when I go into a company, is that online application system. I mean, there are companies, as you know, it's the equivalent of 5, 7, 8 pages long to go and apply for a job. And not only do I think that's not a best practice from the perspective of many, many people are just not going to jump through those hoops to apply for a job. Like you said, we have no reason for that sensitive information unless we're going to make somebody a job offer. So I always tell companies, you know what you need? You need a resume. You need contact information, and that's it. If you want to bring somebody on board, if you want to hire them, have them go through the process of filling out an application and providing you that excuse me, sensitive information. But it just amazes me, like you just said, the amount of companies that are asking for all this information up front. And personally, if I didn't own a company and I was out looking for a job, I would bypass an online application system that asked me for my social security number, my references, any of that information, because frankly, I just don't believe that's anyone's business until you make the decision to hire me.
Oh, and that's actually, I'm glad you validated my recommendation, is I just told them to, you know, bypass it and or have a conversation with somebody that they just didn't feel comfortable with that until the offer was made. And you know what I mean? Get to the point that, am I actually signing up as an employee? Because you really don't need that unless you can obviously get in a later stage, right? So good. I feel good about that. I made some good advice.
And at the end of the day, from a liability perspective, I wouldn't even want my employees to have that information. With the amount of identity theft going on in the world today, I wouldn't want one of my employees to have the Social Security number of every company that, or I'm sorry, every applicant that comes through our system. I just don't want to be responsible for that level of data.
No, absolutely not. So, well, let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. So, what are you hearing? Let's kind of go overarching a little more. So what are you hearing that is new, improved, super interesting from your clients? Since you're on the client side of things, what's popping up these days for you?
What's popping up these days for us, I think in some cases, is you know, bringing people to the 20th century, or 21st century, I'm not even in the 21st century, to the 21st century. I mean, there's just, you know, you mentioned the cloud. So, you know, we've got some clients that we're starting to move people into the cloud. We've got some people that we're really pushing on some of the advanced sort of internet recruitment training. There are really some hard skill sets out there right now that people don't realize in some hard markets. For example, you know, we do a lot of business in the Boston market. And anybody with online marketing, business development, certain areas of software engineering, I mean, those are really, really, really tough skill sets to find. And, you know, I think a lot of the more traditional sort of headhunting techniques that we've used just aren't working anymore. So we're really pushing more of the advanced, like Shally Shacker type of training to get out there and really source and find people. And it's funny because, you know, I think one of the values that we've brought to the table over the years is that we are a very senior team, and we do have those headhunting skills that seem to have gone by the wayside over the years. But, you know, we're finding that we need to add some additional tools to our belt these days, because no matter how much you hear about bad unemployment numbers, there are certain markets and certain skill sets that are just really, really hard to find right now. Like, you know, good luck finding a Ruby on Rails engineer in Boston, for example.
Gotta love the Rails. Who doesn't? That's
or even
stuff.
Salespeople, I'll tell you. I mean, we're really, you know, we're looking for a number of SaaS salespeople, software as a service salespeople in the Boston market right now. And, you know, that's a tough skill set. I mean, you can throw a pebble out the window on 128 and hit 300 other companies that are looking for the same skill set.
So when you're working off that, you know, off that scarcity model like that, and there's definitely some markets. That's interesting. Boston and just hasn't came on my radar about that. I mean, obviously, you know, Silicon Valley is ridiculous, and there's some other places that have big demand. So what do you do as a talent acquisition kind of strategist? Where do you sit down with your team and say, okay, we don't have any people here, and we either throw money at the problem and go outside our comp, you know, our comp policies, or we have to figure something out. Where do you start that conversation?
So we start that conversation by diversifying the skill set of our team. Like I said, you know, we've predominantly been a more senior kind of headhunting type of team, but we're absolutely diversifying that with bringing people onto our team that have the training to go out onto the internet and uncover these people. And I think it just becomes a more labor-intensive process for us. How many directions can we come at this at? And really, how many people can we make contact with? It almost becomes a numbers game again when you look at, again, software as a service salespeople in the Boston market. Everybody's looking. Those people know how in demand that they are. So it's picking up the phone, it's calling into competitors, and it's just hitting enough people that you find somebody that's willing to have the conversation. I don't think throwing money at the problem is the right answer. You know, if somebody's going to jump for a couple of dollars or going to jump from you for a couple of dollars, you know, I think it's really getting out there and hitting it from as many directions as possible and building those relationships. It's funny that, you know, in 2013, you almost never hear recruiters talk about building relationships anymore. But 22 years ago when I started in the business, it was all about building relationships. And you know, I tell my young recruiters all the time, don't be discouraged by the salesperson that tells you no today, because chances are he's going to reach out to you in 3 months and want to have the conversation.
Yeah, that's it's so funny. The whole sourcing, like building your book of business, and just calling into companies, introducing, you know, the old skill marketing. I mean, all of those terms like that. which I've got a question around that. So all of those terms kind of collide kind of philosophically with like social marketing and some of the newer ways that the matching is happening, even from a talent acquisition standpoint. So how do you reconcile that? You're an old school guy, right? You're a sourcer. I mean, you're building portfolio and relationships. How do you reconcile that?
I reconcile that by bringing younger people onto my team that bring strengths to the table that I don't. And I think that, you know, it's funny. I know somebody that runs a recruiting firm that I tried to make an introduction to somebody that had like 24 or 25 years of recruiting experience. And he said to me, that person just wouldn't be a cultural fit here. And my reply to that was that's very, very closed-minded. I just so believe that the strength in our team is those like myself that have been doing this for a long time that come from one perspective. And then those that are younger who learn this business very, very differently and do this business very, very differently. And if you can come together and make that one cohesive organization, I really just think you're knocking it out of the park.
Completely agree. And that's I've seen probably one of the best talent acquisition kind of I had a friend that was came out of the old school kind of headhunting sourcing world and the financial services, and he went to work for a large bank and restructured their entire talent acquisition kind of strategy and department around actually having sourcers and having like compensated headhunters, so to speak, or actual recruiters that were structured more around an agency model. And it was incredibly successful because he married up kind of those block and tackle concepts with the new kind of, you know, where the market was going. And, you know, again, that's the magic happens when you can kind of reconcile the successes of the heritage of doing it with some of the new technologies and the demands of what's happening. So
I think I might have mentioned this to you in a previous show, but we're in the process of putting together what in essence is going to be a sourcing center in Tampa, Florida. And you know, what we're looking to do is implement that sourcing center and those back-end sourcers with the recruiters that we have on site at clients around the country. And I think that's going to just be a very, very effective model for us. You know, I tend to hire on site at clients more of that headhunter mentality, but I think having that sourcing in the background is really going to be an effective model for us.
Well, that is that's exciting. Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that, but it's been a while since you've been on. So, well, definitely. So, are you going to be out and about at any conferences? Are there any conferences you'd recommend to folks out there? We've got about a minute and a half left, and 30 minutes goes by quick when we're having so much damn fun, Mike.
I don't know the date, but I'm going to be in April. I'm going to be in Atlanta at Shally's training. He's doing a two-day training. The first one is sourcing, and the second one is leading a sourcing team. So I'm very much looking forward to that in April.
Fantastic. Good. That's good stuff. You got to love the dark arts of sourcing. I'm mystified by that. So a lot of good folks in that space. So where can folks find you? The folks that you want to find you, I might add. And we'll get that and we'll wrap up. We're done. We're out of here.
So our website is humancapitalconsultants.com, and I'm on Twitter at Mike A. Stringer.
Beautiful. Mike, thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you probably later in the year. Nisha, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. William, wherever you are, travel safely. And folks, we are out of here.
The leader.